Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Drugs Limited Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, Chief Operating Officer and CFO of Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss our financial results for quarter ended 30th June 2023. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Harshit Savla, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harit Shah, Whole-time Director of Aarti Drugs Limited, Mr. Vishwa Savla, Managing Director, Pinnacle Life Science Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which we have uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company's website. The company reported a decent performance in Q1 FY 2024, with a top-line growth of 6.3% YoY on a consolidated basis. Revenue stood at rupees 661.7 crores as against rupees 622.2 crores. EBITDA stood at rupees 84.7 crores as against rupees 67.4 crores in Q1 FY 2023, a growth of 26%. EBITDA margins are at 12.8%. The company's performance improved on a year-on-year basis due to normalization in the input cost, the effective working capital utilization. On a year-on-year basis, EBITDA margins improved by around 200 basis points, driven by improved capacity utilization. With cost of raw material stabilizing, our gross margins have improved in the current quarter and will continue to improve further going ahead. PAT stood at rupees 48 crores as against rupees 34.8 crores in Q1 FY 2023, a growth of 38%. PAT margins stood at 7.3%. Our entry into the dermatology product segment and the implementation of backward integration in the second half of FY 2024, along with stable input costs, are expected to accelerate margin expansion. As a result, upcoming quarters are likely to witness improved margins on a sequential basis. Coming to standalone performance for the quarter, the revenue for Q1 FY 2024 stood at rupees 591.6 crores as against rupees 551.2 crores, a growth of 7.3% YoY. The standalone business contributed around 86% to the consolidated revenue for the quarter. Around 68% of these revenues came from the domestic market and around 32% from the export market for Q1 FY 2024. Domestic revenue grew by around 13.6%, while exports de-grew by around 4% year-on-year for Q1 FY 2024. The API business experienced significant growth with a volume increase of around 18%, primarily fueled by the rising demand in the domestic market. Within the API business, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed around 48%, antidiabetic around 13%, anti-protozoal around 17%, anti-inflammatory around 11%, antifungal around 7%, and the rest contributed around 4% to the total API sales for Q1 FY 2024. However, API exports faced challenges this quarter as some export geographies experienced USD shortages, leading to slower growth in those geographies. In Q1 FY24, the formulation business segment recorded a revenue of rupees 89.9 crores, constituting approximately 14% of the total company revenue. The majority of the revenue, accounting for 67%, was attributed to export sales, which has seen a remarkable increase compared to the previous year. The company's strategic focus on increasing regulatory filings has led to this significant boost in export revenue. As a result, it is expected that the proportion of sales through exports will continue to grow in the future, particularly in the semi-regulated and regulated markets. To further strengthen its market position, the company is committed to investing in new product launches, regulatory filings, and capacity enhancements. Now, the specialty chemicals business experienced a year-on-year impact in Q1 FY24, primarily due to the absence of a couple of campaign-based products during the period. The specialty chemical industry is currently confronting challenges on a global scale, as China has reopened and is flooding the international markets with their products at lower prices. Despite this reopening, the demand within China itself is not sufficient, prompting them to export at cheaper rates. Moreover, the chemical sector is experiencing a decline in prices due to reduced demand from Latin America, Europe, and US. As a result of these factors, export numbers for Indian pharmaceutical companies have faced pressure in Q1 FY24. Which has also impacted us to some extent. However, we have formulated action plans to mitigate this impact and are determined to seize every possible opportunity to foster growth in this sector. The capital expenditure incurred during Q1 FY24 amounted to rupees 48 crores, and it is projected that the total capex for the entire fiscal year will be between 250 to 350 crores. Notably, all of the capex plans, including Gujarat, Saika capex, and Tarapur capex on dermatology and specialty chemicals, both of which belong to high margin accretive categories, are scheduled to be completed within this fiscal year. The implementation of these projects is expected to lead to improved growth prospects for the company moving forward. Commercial operations for these projects are set to commence in Q3 FY24. On 21st July 2023, the board of directors of the company has approved the buyback of 6,65,000 fully paid up equity shares, representing up to 0.72% of the total number of outstanding equity shares of the company at a price of rupees 900 per equity share as a part of a distribution policy payable in cash for an aggregate amount of up to rupees 59.85 crores on a proportionate basis for the tender offer. This shall bring total distribution of around 280 crores over the last 8 years in the form of either dividend or share buyback route, inclusive of taxes. Throughout this year, our primary focus is on augmenting our capabilities and improving our product offerings to consistently meet the ever-changing demands of our clients. Despite facing immediate challenges, we are steadfast in our approach, embracing them and maintaining an optimistic outlook on the potential within both the API and non-API industry. We anticipate a robust growth trajectory across all segments in coming terms. This growth is expected to be fueled by the successful execution of existing projects and the increased utilization of our current capacities. In the formulation business, we foresee a consistent rate of growth in exports. With this, we can now begin with the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning everyone and thanks for the opportunity. Atish, could you comment on, your metformin capacity, which in last quarter you said that, you know, we will adding up new capacities. And also, can you explain on gliptins, you know, whether the utilization has picked up in this quarter or it is still not contributing significantly?
Yeah. So, regarding metformin, yes, we did finish the expansion plan. Our plan was to scale up, increase the capacity further, enhance the capacity further by around 30% to around, say, 1450 tons per month kind of a capacity. So we have completed that expansion. So because of this expansion, our facility was shut for some period and that also led to the decrease in the volume sold in metformin in Q1 FY24. So now that is complete and we expect metformin sales to grow henceforth. As far as gliptins are concerned, right now means for the third quarter, there is not much increase in the sales of gliptins, but to discuss about it for future, I will ask Harit Bhai to comment on the same.
Yeah, we are consolidating two gliptins sales slowly and steadily. It will take some more time to take a significant leadership position, but we expect our cost due to our backward integration in making from basic stage will help us to improve our market share slowly and steadily.
But sir, what is holding back? Is it that the demand is slowing down and that is why you could not supply or the orders are less? What exactly is happening in gliptins?
What has happened is when product goes off patent, at least 20 players wanted to market the same product at the same time. So, you know, ultimately it will bottle down to 3 to 4 players over 1 or 2 years or 3 years. So it will take some more time to consolidate, you know, basically. Those players who have gone backward integration and those who have product players who have cost efficiency will ultimately take more market share.
Got it, sir. And anything with the execution of this, major capex, which we are expecting that, you know, by H1 FY24, we will complete. What kind of revenue growth are we seeing in FY24-25 that we should build in? And EBITDA margin, you know, what are you looking for FY24 and 25?
As far as EBITDA margins are concerned, right now we were around 12.8 to 13%. We expect to close this current financial year with a quarterly EBITDA of at least 14.5-15%. We still hope for it, and going forward it should improve with the newer capacities coming in. As far as the revenues are concerned, we feel that in the current year, around 10% we'll try to achieve, though it will be challenging because there has been negative rate variances as far as sales are concerned, because as you know that the input prices have gone down and so are the selling prices. So that will put a downward pressure, but in spite of that, because of good volume growth, we are expecting at least to touch, 10% growth in the current financial year. And then with the additions of new capacities, the total potential would be around, around 1,000 to 1,200 crores from both the projects. But you can safely assume, around 30-odd percent utilization, 30-40% utilization in the FY25.
Okay. Is it safe to say that in FY25 we should grow in the range of 13-14% on revenue front, and probably EBITDA margin from the 15% level we can reach to around 16-17%?
Let's say 15-16%, because when we launch those products, obviously there will be some price wars because of existing players as well. So the first year might be like similar, but I mean not too high. But we definitely hope that going forward we should be able to increase our margins with this spec in projects.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, the first question is on the API business. You indicated, you know, that volume growth in API has been 18%, if I heard it correctly. Is this in aggregate? And if that is the case, what has been the impact on pricing year on year for you on APIs? Is it up, by how much is it lower?
Okay, yeah. So that was on the aggregate basis, what I told you, and majorly that entire volume growth is because of the domestic market, frankly speaking. As far as the rate is concerned, so around year on year, almost on an aggregate basis, we have, there is minus 8 to 9% degrowth as far as the rate is concerned.
Okay. But I mean, if one were to compare it with fourth quarter of previous year, 4QFY23,
okay.
How have the prices for your APIs moved?
Yes. So if we compare with the March quarter, on a sequential basis, the prices have gone down by around 3 to 3.5%, and at the same time, what we can see on the purchase side. Also around, you know, 2 to 2.5% prices have gone down.
Okay. And in input prices compared to a year ago, where, I mean, how much have they dropped? For example, down from 1Q.
So June, if we compare June versus June quarter, I mean June 22 and June 23 quarter, then the input prices on an aggregate basis have gone down by 15 to 16%.
15 to 16. So, I mean, would it be a case, you know, that that given there's a 15-16% drop in input prices, you know, the output prices will also drop some more, you know, to achieve parity between the drop in in input prices. So would it be a case that there could be some pressure on margins because of price pressure on finished API products going ahead?
Okay. So, ideally, lower input prices means better margin, ideally. Means, so, it will not put pressure. Only problem is when there is a sudden movement in a short period, that but for the one quarter, sometimes there might be inventory losses. But as of now, we are not seeing further volatility. Though we have seen around, say, 2 to 2.5% drop in the purchase price as compared to March quarter, in June 23 versus March 23 quarter. Still, what we saw that from the month of May to the month of June, the prices were stable.
And in 1Q of this year, were you carrying some high-cost input inventory and therefore, you know, the blended price that you have probably is higher than the spot prices? Is that also okay?
Sometimes our import booking is for the longer tenor. So, in some particular cases, it can happen like that.
So, for you, getting into the consecutive quarters, which is 2Q, your input prices will fall further down if the market prices of the KSMs and solvents remain stable because you had some high cost inventory.
So now the input prices are not falling down, is what you saw. Though there are specific cases, there are always specific cases like in few categories for few particular raw materials like antibiotic and antidiabetic. We have seen dropping prices, but there are rising prices on other few raw materials. On an aggregate basis, there is no drop now.
Yeah, there is no drop in the market prices, but would your average inventory cost, you know, in this quarter because it was blended with some high cost, for you sequentially also that should ideally reduce? Is that correct? Because you know, sequentially, when I say from 1Q to 2Q, because you'll be buying, your overall buying price of your raw materials will drop down further, not because the market prices have dropped, but because you, your inventory cost, you know, which was higher in 1Q, will reduce in 2Q.
Yeah, so we definitely expect that to happen, that on a sequential basis, ideally the margin should improve, because this effect will be removed.
But are your customers coming in and negotiating for lower, you know, API prices now?
See, that is mainly based on market forces. It is not more than negotiation, it is meant to do with the market forces and how efficient you are with respect to your competitors. So that will decide the margins.
So because I think the whole of last year, not only you, but most API companies were of the view that, you know, input prices had gone up, utility and power costs have gone up, and you were unable to pass it on to your customer given the environment in the market. For formulations was weak. Everybody talked about very high inventory in the channel, and therefore primary sales were impacted. If that is the case and you were unable to pass on, logically speaking, you then have not raised your API prices to formulators. So there is no argument for formulators to come back to you and say they reduced prices now.
Right.
I would presume it all depends on, you know, what the final volume growth for formulations is and what's the excess capacity or shortage of capacity in the system in any given product. So just trying to understand, you know, your assessment pertaining to your products of this environment.
Okay. So, yeah, so frankly speaking, the prices stay where they are right now. We expect the our margins should improve because except for export market, where we can see some challenges in terms of volume offtake because of this dollar shortages. Other than that, for domestic market, we expect things should be better, much better than last year.
And how has utility and power cost been for you this quarter, year-on-year basis? How much would it been up for you?
Utilization?
No, I'm talking about power cost, I think last
year. Okay, utility, okay. I will give you, see, power... First increase hike in the power rate was done in the Q1 FY23 last June. Then in the second half of last financial year, again there was slight increase towards the end of the financial year. But as far as the coal prices are concerned, coal prices have come off. Means almost it was around some say 11 rupees to, it has come down to 8.5, and we expect it to further go down.
So that will also benefit you to a certain degree. And so would lower freight costs. Would that also?
Yeah, freight costs have already gone down. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, since December 22 quarter, that improvement started.
Okay.
Improvement in the freight costs.
Right. And for the capex that you have, 250 crores, how much would be debt funded?
Yeah. So right now, our on a standalone basis, we are having a long-term debt of around 225 crores. So we are planning to raise, though there will be repayment. So on a rough basis, around, you know, 100 crores we might add up in the long-term loan by the end of this year.
But overall gross debt would be how much as of today consolidated?
Consolidated overall, total debt would be around 590 crores.
590.
All put together, working capital.
And in terms of working capital, last year was also difficult for, I presume, all companies. But have things improved, and should one assume
We have slightly improved, though we are working out a plan to further reduce the inventory. We can reduce the inventory base. Because historically we have seen that pre-COVID, before COVID, when there was no problem in terms of supply of raw materials, no uncertainty was there. In those times, our inventory days were slightly lower on the RM and WIP front. So we will definitely try to work on in those areas.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maulik from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my question was mainly that on a sequential basis, the prices are not reduced significantly, but our revenue is down 11% mainly. And the API revenue is down by approximately 17% sequentially. So has the volume declined on a sequential basis? Can you please throw some light on it?
Yes. So the volume has declined on a sequential basis if we compare with respect to March 23 quarter. And mainly it is, mainly it is to do with the export and spec chem segment. In fact, in last March, Q4s are typically always the best quarter for us. But having said that, in the last March quarter, there was a heavy buying in antibiotic space, especially in domestic market. And because of that, slightly the sales were lower in March, and coupled with the fact that the spec chem segment and the export market didn't do well in Q1 of FY24.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. And one more, so in the last one of the questions, you said that 1000 to 1200 crores of additional revenue expected from two projects. So, which two projects were you mentioning? Were those Metformin and Dermat, or
no? No, there were one back, means intermediate and second greenfield project, and second one was the dermatology greenfield project. And plus, there is one brownfield expansion as well, which is going to be completed by the August in the next month.
Okay, brownfield expansion by August. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in touch.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, team, for a good set of numbers. So, Adish, just to understand, you mentioned in a previous participant question about that we will still achieve about 10% value growth for FY24 in spite of the current environment. So just to understand, when you talk about 10% value growth for the current year, you are assuming that the prices are at the current levels for the remaining part of the year. Based on that, the assumption is of 10% value growth?
Yes, correct.
And the assumption will be that you will continue to grow high teens volume growth.
Correct.
Sure. And with regards to the CAPEX, if you could just share details in terms of the growth CAPEX in the current year to get over and next year in terms of the schedule, like, you know, what juncture, what kind of growth CAPEX gets over in the current year and the next year, the timeline. And apart from that, what is the maintenance and the backward integration CAPEX?
Okay. So typically the maintenance CAPEX, maintenance plus, I would say, debottlenecking CAPEX, both put together for our company typically is in the range of 40 to 50 crores per annum, which also takes care of the higher regulatory, you know, GMP requirements, debottlenecking, and the maintenance return, all put together 40 to 50 crores. Rest is all put for the bigger projects like the big capacity enhancements. In the current year, we plan to complete around anywhere between 250 to 320. We are targeting to complete inclusive of the maintenance CAPEX. And next year, probably we have a plan of further expanding anti-diabetic segment. So that CAPEX might come up next year. And plus, we have another project on paper, which is like, you know, you can say same side chain product for our dermatology product. So if that works well, there will be another round. New product launch, but it will be done in an existing plot. So it won't be completely greenfield, but sort of mix of brownfield and greenfield, which we can commence next year.
Okay. So you said current year you will complete around 250-300 crores, including 50-60 crores of maintenance capex. So the rest will be growth capex, right?
Correct.
And next year the quantum of capex could amount to how much?
Including
the 50-60 crores of maintenance and regulatory capex.
So if both the projects start, that is, which I talked about, is anti-diabetic and another is side chain product. If both the capex start, then we haven't worked out yet, but around 100 to 200 CR capex might be there for the next financial year.
This is over and above the 50-60 crores, correct?
Inclusive of that.
Achha, inclusive. Okay, sure. And just coming to the FY25 growth in terms of revenue, so typically considering again today's prices, what kind of revenue growth and the capex plan getting completed as per your schedules as we speak today, what kind of value growth we can see for FY25?
So, as you said, it will depend on the utilization of the greenfield projects which are putting this year. Total potential would be around 1,000 to 1,200 crores from those two greenfield projects. And we expect, say, around 30 to 35% utilization in the first year, that is FY25.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To come from this project.
Sure. And lastly, on the margin front, you mentioned that considering the present situation and the prices of most of the overall aggregate products getting stabilized, both on the input and the output product side, we expect the margins to have a sequential improvement and then end the current year or quarter four, you will see around 14-15% margins.
Correct.
Is that understanding?
Yes, correct.
Sure. Thank you so much, Adish. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, hello. My question is very broad-based. So given we're seeing this Chinese behavior in the market and dumping it, the prices came down. Now, there is also an element of freight cost which was built into it when the prices went up. You know, when the scenario was regular pre-COVID, so compared to that time and today's realization for your key products, what is the price difference?
Okay. It's difficult, but I know about one product, the topmost product for us, which contributes around 19 to 20% of our standalone revenues. For that product, it is, if I'm not mistaken, it is exactly the same, just before COVID and now.
Acha.
Between 1800 to 1900, something like that.
Okay, which is that product?
Cipro.
Okay. So the prices are back to the pre-COVID level.
But then, as I said, I recollect the first, I mean, this product, but others I have to check. I have to check it.
Yes. But for this, you are saying the prices are back. Okay. And how about the raw materials for these products? I mean, your per ton margin, are that also back or how is that?
We'll have to check, because the thing is, I mean, in some places we are making those margins, but the problem is there are other factors like, you know, the inventory in pipeline.
Huh.
So considering that, then the scenario looks a little different. But if we compare just the sales orders and the POs what we are raising today, it seems like the margins are back. Only problem is because all these FIFO techniques, inventory calculation is done on FIFO basis. So that is impacting the overall margins of the company when we report it quarter on quarter basis. But otherwise, it seems like the margins should be back.
Okay, okay, okay. And the capex plan, if I understand, we have not changed anything. Whatever we had thought of it before, we have kept the same in spite of this, you know, certain volatile times which has come and hit the industry. Am I correct?
So, yeah. So, what has happened as far as the two capex were concerned, one capex got a little delayed because we constantly kept on changing the process, means to further improve. Before even launching the project, we thought that we were constantly doing R&D. So, the process part has changed. That is the only change as far as the original plan was concerned. And one anti-diabetic expansion, which we planned, 2,000 tons per month, that piece has got delayed and probably will do it next year.
Okay, got it. And I mean, last quarter I did not attend the call, but anything on this paracetamol, have we stabilized it? What is it on the PAP front?
Paracetamol means it's done by the group company, not by us.
Correct. The Bharat Chemical, right? Something.
Right.
Yeah. So that has he got the quality required quality for PAP?
Ritbhai, can you comment on this?
No, we are not aware of it because it does not belong to RT Drugs, that products. So we are not aware of the quality part exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Chalo. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh from Marcellus Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello? Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. So, sir, in the product pipeline presentation, I saw that now we are entering into some of the methylamine-based products. So, can you elaborate on that? I could see that two have already been developed and six other are in the pipeline.
Yeah, it is mainly to do with the backward integration. And some few side chain products might be there which we might be selling outside.
Okay, and this backward integration is for metformin, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, but sir, in metformin, I reckon that there is only one of the product which is used. However, we are entering into a broad host of products which are methylamine based. Mm-hmm. That is something which is not adding us actually.
No, so the thing is, there are side chain products, you know, when you manufacture a product, automatically you get in certain proportion, you get other products. So that is why we'll be selling those products.
Okay. But any plans to enter much more deeper manner in this space?
As of now, not much. It's mainly to do with the backward integration.
Okay. That's
from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I was just trying to understand if you are seeing any pricing pressure from China in any of your major products. Because what we are hearing is in some of your chemical industry related products, there has been excess supply that will be coming from China. So I was just curious, how does that impact our business?
Yeah. So as far as the APIs are concerned, it is not impacting very severely. It is just the spec chem space where we have seen little drop in demand from few of the MNCs. So that needs to be seen. But otherwise, this is more of an indirect impact to us, not the direct impact.
And it's reducing your raw material prices, right?
Overall the trend is downward in the raw material. Right.
Like earlier you were talking about 16% decline in your RM prices. So can one assume that that particular excess supply is starting to somehow flow into your RM cost indirectly?
As far as our RMs are concerned, means around say 60 to 70% of our RM, almost 70%, they are directly or indirectly linked to crude. So last year, because of this Russia-Ukraine thing, the crude has gone up very sharply. And if I recollect correctly, in the month of September, somewhere the crude corrected. And after that, we had seen this downward trend in the lot of raw material prices which are linked to crude, directly or indirectly. So that seems to be one major this thing impact. And probably opening up a few more suppliers. That can mean more supply than the demand. That can also impact. But mainly, I think we attribute it to the fall in the crude prices.
I see. And just a related question, how much of your RM you are sourcing within India versus Europe versus China? Any color on that, please?
Yeah, so it's almost half-half. And almost half-half. And we do have the option to buy locally also few of the raw materials, but because we buy in bulk, so we can import entire containers as well. So it turns out to be cheaper for us, and hence we are preferring to import.
So half is coming within India and half is coming from China, you're saying?
Approximately, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, half is indigenous and say half we can import.
Imported mainly from China or?
Around 80 to 90% of the imports is from China.
Okay. So let's say 40% from China and 10% from the rest of the country and 50% locally, right? That's sort of the mix.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes. Please proceed.
Yeah, so I had just a question regarding to the RM prices, especially pertaining to crude. So, can you give a color on, you know, what is the risk to the API business if we see any upturn in crude prices and let's say they go back to those 100 odd levels which they had gone up before. And, you know, since China has opened up and the supply bottlenecks have eased out, should the impact of any higher crude prices from here be a significant risk to the business?
Okay. So, yeah, so as you correctly pointed out, there were two factors, means less number of suppliers and plus the crude prices also going up. So that had caused a sudden uptick in the raw material prices linked to crude last year. And whenever there is a sharp increase in prices in a very short, then definitely it impacts demand in shorter term. It impacts margins in shorter term. Because as everyone has asked previously also that, you know, whether the absolute profit per kg or per ton for API manufacturer, whether that remains same. And the answer to that, our answer to that was always that in shorter term, yes. But if it stays for longer term, say a couple of years, then definitely the margins will be revised. The per ton absolute profit will also be revised for the APIs. So to answer your question, if it goes up sharply, in shorter run, it can definitely impact the margins, but in longer run, the businesses will stabilize at a newer norm, I would say.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good morning. Audible? Am I audible?
Good
yes,
morning,
sir.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Sir. Just touching the point on the specialty chemical side. So you mentioned in your remarks that the demand has been weak overall globally as well in the industry. And you're taking some steps to mitigate the impact. So by when can we like see this reflecting in its contribution overall? So when can we expect this improvement and what are you doing to...
One is that... we'll be tapping more and more customers. We can clearly see, we can see the challenges we are facing in certain products. So we are trying to overcome them. One is expansion, one is related to transit, but we'll take care of that. Then other is that our contract manufacturing businesses, because of severe labor shortages in the quarter of June, we were not able to deliver the certain material, which will be now, which will start flowing in coming months. So as far as the spec chem is concerned, those are the steps we are taking. As far as the exports in general for the API is concerned, that will see, we are always trying to see whether we can do businesses in alternate currencies like AED or Euros with certain geographies. Those kind of things we are trying, because we don't want to be over, you know, we don't want to sell in the conditions that receivables should be at risk. So that is why we went slow. So we can see the demand, we can see the inquiries, but problem is we are reluctant to dispatch till the situation gets good.
Okay, so that, like, tentatively, by when will you see improvement in
general? So the macro factors, it is difficult, but for, as far as the spec chem is concerned, Q2 will be also slightly better, hopefully, than Q1. And then Q3 should be even better because we will have additional product also for Q3.
Right, right. Okay, okay. And just, sorry to repeat this, but retouching the point on the EBITDA margin, so correct me if I'm wrong, but so you said you'll improve quarter by quarter and then you will end the year at in the range of 14.5% to 15%. Am I right?
Correct, correct. Yes.
Correct. Oh, okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Hi, I just have one question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to know about each new plant update, the one which was in the input alert. What are the updates regarding this?
Yeah. So, regarding that, the last response we had sent in September, and then they had come back to us in the month of February of 2023, and we had given some additional information they had sought from us, and we had replied by the end of March 2023. And meanwhile, we were waiting to get our EDQM inspection, EU GMP inspection also took place by the end of last calendar year 2022, and we were expecting the GMP certificate, which we just received from European authorities for the same facility. So now we are drafting a letter just along with this EU GMP certificate to expedite the process of inspection.
Okay. And you also mentioned in last quarter that the RM inventory, high cost RM inventory, was not completely utilized in Q4. So in Q1, is it completely utilized?
Sort of, yes. Yes. Because if we compare June quarter with March quarter, the RM decline is just 2-2.5%. And that too, last 2 months of the June quarter, that is May and June, we did not see decline. So probably, but having said that, on aggregate basis, it is completely utilized. But in few cases, there are drops. But then that will always be there. But on an aggregate basis, the higher cost inventory looks to be utilized.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead. Mr. Thareja, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking the follow-up. The two greenfield capacities that you talked of, two questions there. One, what's the break-even utilization for you on these capacities? And, you know, when you give your margin guidance, would it include, you know, the initial sort of initial negative impact as these capacities come on stream with their full cost and over a period of time, you know, achieve their utilization?
Yeah. So though on paper, you know, really the margins look very high as compared to the company margins, and that is the reason why I say that for a first year or so, we expect the margins of the company to be in the similar range, 15 to 16. So we are not being too optimistic because we expect some kind of price cuts from the competitors. So yes, answer to your question, yes, we are trying to take care of that initial price war in terms of margin guidance. And as far as break-even was concerned, I will get back to you on that because I don't have exact number at what percentage it will be break-even.
Okay. And what time frame do you foresee optimal utilization in these two to happen?
Yeah, so as I said, we were quite pessimistic when we said that 30-35% utilization will be there in the first year, and next year maybe 60%, and then maybe, you know, 80% or something like that.
But it is all
projections. Sometimes it is faster, sometimes it is slower. Especially if it is export-oriented, then it is slower. For domestic market, it is relatively faster.
So is this largely domestic market focused, or is it?
Yes. As of now, largely domestic. Yes.
And which products are these?
So as you said, these are methylamines and mainly salicylic acid, which is in the dermatology segment.
But salicylic acid is a fairly volatile product, right? I mean, one of your peer companies in the intermediates has always been indicating that, you know, it's a fairly commoditized business, and you know, they see a lot of volatility in prices. Yeah.
So salicylic acid, since long, means Indian manufacturers are not manufacturing now, because China has completely taken over the manufacturing of salicylic acid since the last one decade or so. So most of the companies are now importing that and further manufacturing, converting them into salicylates, which has a vast area of application, right from intermediates, pharma intermediates to cosmetics and so on. But we are confident about the process, what we have developed. We have done piloting also. And though as of now the margins look very high, but then we expect some price cuts from China, some reaction from China. And that is why initially we are not estimating any high, exceptionally high margin in that business. But in the longer term, we definitely expect to get that business from China. Government is also supportive for import substitution. And as you have seen in last 2 years, moreover, we ourselves have certain experience in terms of import substitution when it comes to cloxacins also, O-cloxacin, Nor-cloxacin. I mean, a decade back, almost 95% of the Indian consumption was imported, and now it is exactly reverse. Around 80-90% is now indigenously produced and the rest is imported. So, yeah, we are fairly confident about this particular product.
So what's the current, you know, tonnage market size for salicylic acid in the domestic market, and how much is imported out of that?
It's almost completely imported, mostly. I don't think exactly, but 20 to 25 kilotons probably.
Okay, and your process, you feel, has better yields, or are you related to a degree where you believe that you will be able to withstand cost pressure from Chinese supplies and actually be better in terms of pricing?
Yes.
Okay, but there's no policy per se, you know, which might create a duty structure which will sort of turn the market favorable.
There is a scope. But nothing as of now, but there is a high chances, right?
But you are not factoring any policy measures?
No. I mean, so while putting the project, it is purely based on our internal strength. But anything policy-wise will be an extra benefit for us.
All right. And how do the current prices compare to, let's say, long-term average prices of salicylic acid?
Harit, would you have answer to this?
We have seen last 5 years data, and more or less, similar trend is there. Like, based on the phenol prices, there are major two raw materials, phenol and carbon CO2. So more or less, they are in the line of last 5 year, the average price is similar to, it's based on phenol, basically, yeah.
But I think you did indicate that you believe pricing might normalize over a period of time, and current margins are not reflective of sustainable realization.
No, and after COVID, prices from China has already started coming down, and I think it now they have reached to pre-COVID levels, margin, as far as is concerned. Yeah.
So assuming that, you know, this is a sustainable average price,
Right.
Are margins on this product still better than what you currently report at optimal utilization? Obviously, I'm not talking right at the start, but when you achieve optimal utilization on salicylic acid,
Yeah.
would presuming current input prices remain what they are, at what they are, would your margins be higher than what you today report on a blended basis?
Yes.
By how much would the margin?
No, we don't, I mean, we don't discuss exact, but it will be quite higher. But we don't exactly discuss product-wise margins.
Okay. All right.
That's the only thing.
I get it. Thank you.
It will be better than the blended margin, that we can say.
All right. Lastly, on formulations, I think you've been indicating exports within the formulation salience of exports will keep on continuously rising. So how does that portend for your growth and for your formulation margins, as you move ahead?
Yeah. Mishra, would you like to answer this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so as you rightly mentioned, in formulations, continuously we are shifting our sales from more domestically led to exports, majorly in the emerging markets and gradually into the regulated markets filings also. So as we are extending our product portfolio in exports and also at the same time opening up more markets, we estimate to see more and more growth over the next quarters in international markets. And we are also doing a brownfield small expansion on our OSD capacities over the next 6 months. So that will also lead to a volume growth.
In terms of margins, would exports have a better margin profile?
Yeah, definitely, because in domestic we are working more as a CMO, where margins are restricted. So exports have and will continue having a better margin than domestic.
Thank you. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited and all the questions you asked. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.